Well, Merry Christmas, Sanctuary. We gather tonight because we do long for Jesus's arrival. We know the story that Jesus arrived once, some 2,000 years ago, but what about today? What about right now? If we ever needed the Lord before, the songwriter said, we need him right now. And there's a tragedy at the heart of the Gospel of John, right in the beginning, that we can miss if we're not careful. It's not the tragedy of a rejected king or savior, though that's there. It's the tragedy of misrecognition. Hear the word of the Lord from John chapter 1, verse 10 through 13. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God. The title for today's message, this Christmas Eve 2025, is The Jesus We Never Knew. It's kind of hard sometimes to tell people about a story that they are very familiar with. I mean, how long have you been coming to Christmas Eve services, even if you only come to service on Christmas Eve? It's almost guaranteed you know what message you're going to hear when you come to this service. And yet, the Gospels are so much rich with meaning and contextualization born out of that manger. John writes that this Jesus was in the world, and yet the world did not know him. John, that means he wasn't rejected. Sarah, it means he was not opposed. Jason, it does mean he was simply not known. Christ was present, active, what theologians call incarnate, God in flesh, and yet he was unseen. And this isn't just ancient history. This is still happening because over time, beloved, if we're honest, Jesus is not seen, not because he's rejected or opposed, but because he has become manipulated. We don't reject Jesus, the true Jesus. We reject an image, an illusion of Jesus, a picture of Jesus that others have made and reshaped into their own image. Jackson, we sand down the edges, if you will. We dress him up in ways that make sense to ourselves, and we turn the incarnate word made flesh into a word that we can control. And we do this in at least two ways. I don't mean to just wax eloquent for you this evening, but I got to tell you, there's at least two ways in which we manipulate Jesus that are relevant to today. First of all, we position Jesus to fit into our own politics, left or right, progressive or conservative. It doesn't really matter. We make him a spokesperson for our own cause. We put words in Jesus's mouth that sound strangely like our own opinions. We turn the manger into a campaign rally and Jesus into a validator in chief. He becomes a symbol of our personal worldview, our ethnic values, our biased instincts, and our individual moral unquestionable compass. And by doing this, we turn that manger into a platform for political othering that suits our own agenda. If it hurts, beloved, just say ouch. I know you didn't come here for that kind of message, but that's the first or one way in which we twist Jesus into our own image. The other way we do it is we mold Jesus to shape our popularity. He becomes the hype guy. He becomes Jesus the mascot. He becomes Jesus the cheerleader. He becomes Jesus who is manipulated in our own image. And this manger now becomes the decor and backdrop for our Instagram stories. Look at how God has blessed me despite what you see. Something we just display and project for the world. This, beloved, is not an accusation. It's more of a confession. We all do this to some degree or another, Patrick. Present company included, and the church has been doing it for 2,000 years. But we don't just simply reject Jesus, Doug. We reshape him until he fits our wants. And the problem is that when we try to fit Jesus into our politics or into our popularity, we miss the real Jesus altogether. John says he was in the world, but the world did not know him. They could not see him. One of my favorite things about Christmas, Stephen, is that the decor of Christmas includes the nativity scene. Do you know the origin of the nativity scene, Stephen? Do you know where it comes from? You've been doing it. You've been putting it up for years and years. You started with that little Lego set nativity, and you've grown up to a Costco set. But do you know where it comes from? It comes from Francis of Assisi. He was the son of a wealthy cloth merchant in medieval Italy, and he had everything that life could offer. He had status. He had a promising future. He had financial security. But in his 20s, he encountered a leper, and he encountered a profound spiritual awakening that caused him to walk away from it all. He returned his inheritance to his father. He stripped himself naked. I don't recommend that. Stripped himself naked and went into the town square and devoted himself to a vow of poverty and radical inclusion. He lived among the poor, but he also cared for lepers. He preached to peasants and even animals and trees, because he saw that they were all connected by the same divine union. And his movement would reshape the church. And so in 1223, 3 years before his death, he did something that no one had done before. He didn't commission a painting, which other religious leaders had done. He didn't sit down and write a hymn, which other religious leaders had done. He didn't preach a sermon, which other religious leaders had done. He built a nativity scene on the outskirts of the city, in a cave. But it wasn't art, it was defiance. It was a disruption. It didn't have polished figurines like we have today. There was no idealized romance in this nativity scene. No golden halos, no superstar over the stable. Just straw, some animals, some dung, the smell of stench of life there. He invited people to come and meet the real Jesus. Why was this so important? Why was it so striking? Because by the 13th century, the church had done what the church had done consistently, which was make Jesus in their political and in their popular image. They had manipulated Jesus to their own description, to their own value. Instead of wrapping Jesus in humble loincloth, they wrapped him in imperial power. Instead of him being clothed in humility, they wrapped him in wealth and opulence. Instead of being placed in a lonely manger surrounded by poor shepherds, Christ was exalted in cathedrals with gold-laced emblems all around, so religious and political charlatans can exploit the poor even more. Do you see the contrast between real Jesus and imagined Jesus? And can you see the relevance to our time today? The gospel of incarnation, in one word, is Emmanuel. That means God with us. It means God for us. And it also means God as us. And in this cultural climate where we today find Jesus is being misrepresented, people are rejecting the church and therefore rejecting Jesus, because the church and Jesus have been co-opted by those political figures and those popular images that you see each day. This, beloved, did not come with an argument. St. Francis didn't invite a debate. He just provided a tangible picture made with straw and animals and a cave. My favorite nativity scene is this one I picked up from Ethiopia. It shows the image of the Christ child, certainly surrounded by the Magi, Mary and Joseph and a wise man there. But what is so striking about this image is that the nativity scene is welcomed by all nations, all peoples around the world. They find Christ made in an image that is disruptive to the Christ that is offered as the one Christ to the world. One made in the image of perhaps white Christianity or evangelicalism that says this is the only way in which one can find Christ. Instead, each nation and culture finds that Christ is embedded already in their stream of conscience, already in their stream of history, already in their stream of awareness. They just need to show up to where Jesus is already present in the world so that they might know him. I love the nativity so much. I have about 13 sets right now. I got another set from Kenya. I got one from Jerusalem. But my favorite sets are the ones that people make with their own hands or they provide for me. I got the greatest gift just the other day of a nativity scene made by that sea glass from Lake Erie, that little, you know, whatever you call that little glass, right, that just shines up there, and made with their own hands presenting this nativity scene. It's as if every time I receive this gift, it is an invitation to look again at what seems so familiar. You thought you knew Jesus, but this is the Jesus you didn't know. Through the eyes of someone who's been touched by Jesus, through the eyes of someone who's experienced the healing, through the eyes of someone who's experienced the relief, through the eyes of someone who's waiting on the healing, who's waiting for the relief. This version of Jesus doesn't just suit my own comfort. It invites me to embrace Christ anew. The nativity scene is a reset, not just a nice decoration. And the tragedy that John names doesn't end in Bethlehem, where Christ is born, because Christ still shows up. Christ still shows up in forms we don't expect. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus makes this explicit. He says, you want to know where I am? You want to know where to find me? I'm in the face of the hungry, so feed me. I'm in the face of the sick, so heal me. I'm in the face of the prisoner, visit me and set me free. I'm in the face of the stranger, the one at the border, the one across town, the one that you would rather not have here, the face of the refugee and the immigrant, welcome me. I'm in the face of the naked, the houseless, clothe me, shelter me. Friends, this isn't theoretical or abstract, not this week, not in Columbus, Ohio, where ICE has shown up. And the stranger is not an abstraction, but a person who's made in the image of Christ. Not in Columbus, Ohio, at Sanctuary, where the sick are our friends and children who are literally battling for their life. Not in our neighborhoods, where schools are being invaded and children don't have a safe place to be educated. Not here in Columbus, Ohio. We can't turn a blind eye to the issues and the impact of those issues on everyday people. If we do so, we don't see Christ in the manger. We see Christ made in our image. We don't see Christ in the cave. We see Christ made in our shelter, our protective environment. We don't see Christ as he was intended to be seen. We see him for what is good and what is best for us. Christ is here now. In the midst of your fear, Christ is here. In the waiting room of uncertainty, Christ is here. In the darkness of despair, Christ is here. And it invites us to wrestle with the question, do we have eyes to see this Christ? Truthfully, some of us don't want to see. It's hard to see, right? It's easy to see Jesus in the sanctuary when we show up for worship. Perhaps it's easier to see Jesus in the pages of the scriptures, especially the New Testament, because that Old Testament, we can't see him too much. Perhaps it's easy to see him in the glow of the candlelight that we'll experience in just a moment. We're less good at seeing Jesus in the interruptions of our lives. The person who shows up at the wrong time and the wrong need while you're working on your sermon and they ask for prayer. I'm just saying, it happened today. This interruption is an invitation. And what St. Francis of Assisi models and invites us to do in the image of the nativity scene and in the words of the gospel is not to be like the innkeeper who doesn't find room for Jesus, or like the religious leaders who don't look for Jesus right among them but continue to make him after their own image, or the empire that tries to manipulate the power and presence of Jesus for their own material gain. if we're honest with ourselves, that's not the Jesus we need. We need the real Jesus. We need the real Jesus. You, whether you realize it or not, need the real Jesus. Not just the one that makes you feel good when you show up in church, but the one who's present when you present with you after you say amen. Not the one who's just going to help you make that next decision, but the one who's going to help you discern the course of your life, the vocation, the relationship, the place to live in the world, the where you're going to worship. Jesus is needed right here, right now. And this is what the manger offers, beloved. It offers, Audrey, another opportunity for us to meet God in his most vulnerable posture and position. Christmas is less about this and more about this, more about receiving what Christ has to offer. And here's what he offers. He doesn't offer you to become strong. He offers you to become surrendered. He doesn't offer you to become strong and powerful and mighty. He offers for you to become surrendered. Surrendered to the power and the presence of God. And this is what John means when he wraps this whole thing up. To all who received him, who believe in his name, he gave them the power to become the beloved children of God. Do you receive him? Do you believe in his name? And the power that he gives you is not one that makes you strong. It's one that makes you even more surrendered. But the promise on the other side is that you get even more than strength and power. You get his relationship and his closeness. You get the assurance of your identity being rooted in the power and presence of Jesus Christ. So here's that image of the Ethiopian nativity scene again. And ask ourselves, what if Advent and Christmas is not about finding Christ, but learning to see him right where he is? That the gifts that we bring are not mere presents, but ourselves. Vulnerable, disrupted, discontent, in despair, courageous, hopeful, ambitious. What we hear is the good news that we all can receive this Christ just as we are. Just as I am. Just as you are. You bow your heads just for a moment. I want to invite you to this meditation as that image stays in your mind. The Christ we encounter in this nativity scene is one that enters into suffering but is not defeated by it. It is one who shows up himself a stranger in need but not overcome by fear or anxiety. It is the Christ who has arrived wrapped in swaddling clothes, crucified and wrapped in clothes in a tomb, and is resurrected. And when we receive him, we're not just encountering suffering, we're encountering the transformation of it. Lord, my prayer today is that as we have wrestled with Jesus, the wrestling is not one of competition. Not even one where you come to prove us wrong, but one where we are invited to see you afresh. A lowly manger for a magnificent Savior. Some of us are willing to see it and run to that cave. Others are reluctant to see it, unsure of what we might encounter. And your grace is there for all of us to receive. Help us to know that what you desire more than anything else is to be our Emmanuel, the God who is with us, for us, and as us, who at this very moment is working to make all things new until he comes in full. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.